Now, Wisconsin school districts are figuring out what to do about the upcoming school year amid the coronavirus pandemic. At least three districts in southeastern Wisconsin, Cedarburg, Oconomowoc, and Kettle Moraine, have announced that they plan to open with in-person instruction and safety measures. Others are considering a variety of options, like a mix of in-person and virtual learning, only having half the student population in the building at a time, and more. Earlier this week, President Trump said his administration is going to put pressure on governors to open schools in their states. He also threatened to cut funding to schools that don't fully reopen. Yesterday on Fox News, Education Secretary Betsy DeVos defended the president's comments.
American investment in education is really a promise to students and their families. And if schools aren't going to reopen again, that's breaking that promise. And so why should they receive funds for something they're not going to do?
Meanwhile, the American Academy of Pediatrics also says students should be physically present in schools as much as possible and that there are health, social, and educational risks to keeping kids at home. They've released a set of guidelines to make the school experience as safe as possible. Dr. Dipesh Navzaria is an associate professor of pediatrics at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. He's also president of the Wisconsin chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics. Dr. Navzaria, good to have you back with us.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
This set of guidelines from the American Academy of Pediatrics starts with the principle that we're best off if we can get kids in schools in person as much as possible. Why is that important?
Well, the thing is that I think we primarily think about school as being a place for learning and education, which is really the main goal of schools. However, we need to also recognize that there's a lot of different things that happens when children are in a school, and particularly physically in a school. There are other caring adults who have their eyes on those children and how in terms of their mental health, in terms of their physical health, in terms of looking for signs of abuse or distress or depression or anxiety. There's a lot of children who are served who have developmental disabilities or other special needs, and they are often not getting the therapies they need or other supports. Child poverty, food. Schools actually are a major bedrock of our community. That we sometimes don't always recognize. So we need to realize that when kids are not in school, a lot of those things are lost to them or are only being provided in very peripheral ways, unfortunately.
And I'm assuming I'm not the only parent who, when schools went virtual, they did the best they could. They were scrambling in a tough situation. I think there's a general consensus that kids weren't learning as much remotely as they would have in person. Is that fair to say?
It probably is. I think there's a big difference between parents who make the reasoned, planned decision to homeschool and those who are thrown into it on short notice with little preparation and not really sure how to do it. And let's face it, that virtual school is hard. In an ideal world, we'd love to have synchronous classes where kids all get together on Zoom and at the same time and kind of recreate a classroom setting. Well, when you have large numbers of families that don't have access to broadband, what ends up happening is that some kids are essentially being excluded from school because of those resource limitations. So we need to recognize, again, that it was not an ideal situation, and it worked to get us through the second half of, the spring semester and through the end of the school year. But now that we're planning about what we do next year, we need to think more carefully about this and also recognize that what we've learned about this pandemic has evolved since this all hit us in March.
Governor Evers was asked yesterday about DeVos's position on fully reopening schools. Here's a listen to what he had to say.
At the end of the day, I would not consider a district who offers a hybrid where it's partially in school, partially online, to be failing in their responsibilities. They have to make that decision locally. I don't think that's something that Secretary DeVos can discern necessarily from Washington, D.C.
Do you see room for that, Dr. Navzaria, that mix of in-person and virtual instruction?
I think that certainly can happen. I think what we need to recognize is that there is no one magic set of guidelines that's going to cover all situations. I wish there was. For one thing, we don't have as complete data about how this virus acts as we would like to have. And we need to go with the research and the evidence that we have rather than the evidence we wish we had. Number two is that we want to be careful of providing such specific guidelines, such as all schools must open or all schools must not do sports, et cetera, et cetera. Because if you're overly specific, what will happen is we might actually not be addressing particular needs or particular resources that an individual school or school district might have. We need to instead take a flexible, thoughtful, and nimble approach so that especially as situations change on the ground in terms of community spread or new data or research becomes available that is accepted as telling us something important and useful about how we should address this, that we can and adjust. That sort of thoughtful approach actually will serve us not just in schools, but also early childhooders, public libraries, really any kind of public arena, I think would be well served by really planning to be flexible. One of the things that I think is really important about the AAP guidance, people are summarizing it as the AAP says that schools must reopen. That is not at all what it says. The AAP specifically says that the goal should be for students to be physically present in school. However, we need to make sure we do it safely, and we need to make sure that schools are adequately funded to be able to do this. So there's a lot of ifs in that that need to also happen. And I think when we just say AAP says reopen and stop there, we're actually doing the guidance that was carefully thought out a disservice. And we're ultimately doing school districts, school personnel, and ultimately children and their families a disservice.
Dr. Dipeshnav Zarya is with us from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, one of the Wisconsin chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics. We're talking about schools reopening in the fall amid COVID-19, what they can do to reopen as safely as possible. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Love to hear your thoughts on this, especially if you're a parent, a student, a teacher, a school staffer yourself. Are you in the midst of making these plans right now? What kind of things are you looking at? What kind of changes can your students expect? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Dr. Nafzari, you mentioned that those AAP guidelines stress the need for flexibility at the local level and as information changes over time. That said, what are some of the guidelines that they are hoping school administrators and others are thinking about? What kind of safety steps are they putting out there for people to consider?
Yeah, here's some basic points that I think we've all heard, but they bear, you know, reiterating. So one, clean and disinfecting those high touch surfaces, frequent washing of hands, spacing desks about 3 to 6 feet apart, fewer students and staff in each classroom, and trying to keep those classrooms, of course, as a unit as much as possible and not mixing with others. That also means having teachers perhaps move between classrooms rather than the students to avoid intermixing in the halls. Lunches, well, might not have to be the cafeteria, might be at their desks. Using outdoor spaces where it's possible or feasible. Masks for adults and the older students. And then finally, really being prepared that if the virus surges, the flexibility to go virtual on really a moment's notice if need be, since this is a little bit more of a predictable situation at this point in time. All of these things they're not easy to do necessarily, and they're going to take some work and planning. And that's where maybe some of these hybrid approaches become necessary. A school may say, there is no way we can do the distancing with our full student body. Okay, great. We're going to have to do a mix of virtual and hybrid. That is still serving learning in key ways. And it's the school making that decision or the school district making that decision to really help things out. A lot of these are covered very nicely on the AAP's parent portal, healthychildren.org, in the article on return to school, including the points I just made.
You wrote a piece, I think this is a couple months back now, that nobody should take one thing and think this is the one magic cure. Okay, we got masks on everybody, we're all cool. Not looking for that silver bullet that's going to fix everything.
Yeah, that's really correct. That, you know, if you're really looking to try to limit virus spread, it's the things that we've largely been talking about and been hopefully doing well. So the most strict thing would be a strict quarantine, right? You do not interact with other people at all and so on. After that, it's social distancing. After that, it's hand hygiene and masks and things of that nature. And after that, other things. So, you know, it's not that masks alone are going to solve everything, but they're a piece of the solution. It's not that distancing alone is going to solve everything or outdoor spaces are going to solve everything. But all these things put together actually add up to a fairly large effect in terms of being protective, in terms of virus spread. So there's not just one thing that's going to fix this. It's all of these things being thought about. And the other thing I'll say is we need to be kind and gentle and patient with each other. Some of these kids are relatively young. They're going to forget to keep their mask on. They're going to not have it on correctly. They might forget to wash their hands exactly right. One lapse is not going to cause a mass outbreak, okay? This is really about repeated behaviors over and over and good modeling by adults and creating situations where the kids, if they do lapse, it's not a big deal because, hey, they were distanced when that unmasked child coughed, you know, or something like that. So I think really thinking about it in all these sorts of ways as a multi-layer approach is really how school districts and other locations should be thinking about all this.
We're looking at the effort to reopen schools safely this fall amid the COVID-19 outbreak. Dr. Dipesh Navsaria is with us, Associate Professor of Pediatrics at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health and President of the Wisconsin Chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see schools open this fall? What kind of safety measures are you hoping that schools take? If you're a parent or a student, do you have concerns? Do you have questions you need answered? If you work in a school yourself, what are you hoping for? What are you fearing? And if you're involved in making these kind of decisions right now, love to hear from you. The number is 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also join the conversation over at the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about efforts to reopen schools safely this fall. Dr. Dipesh Navsaria is with us, Associate Professor of Pediatrics at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. He's also president of the Wisconsin Chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics. We're looking at guidelines put out by the American Academy of Pediatrics when it comes to opening schools safely. Call in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see schools reopening in the fall? What kind of safety measures are you hoping to see? Parents, students, teachers, school staff, and administrators, what is on your mind right now? What concerns do you have? What hopes do you have? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We heard from some people on Facebook, Dr. Navsaria. Kirsten writes, on the one hand, I would like to see my teacher have normal socialization again. On the other hand, I want him to have another 70 years of productive life unharmed by lifelong neurological or cardiovascular effects, or worse yet, dead. I'd also like to see him live to grow up. I think every parent wants that. This is going to be going through a lot of parents' minds, Dr. Navsaria, the possible trade-offs and risks when kids go back to school.
Yeah, I think that's certainly a big question. And unfortunately, we don't have hard numbers to really weigh that risk. I think that one of the important things we should be thinking about, though, is that, you know, we take risks on every day that we forget exist. I point out that every time you get into a motor vehicle to drive somewhere, there's actually a fair chance of getting into a severe or fatal motor vehicle collision. But we don't think about that as much because the numbers of how many people die on, say, Wisconsin highways every year is we're numb to it, right? We don't really think about that anymore. Yet that threat is still there. So I think we should be careful about not overestimating risk. And let's remember that children in general seem to have a much milder illness and that the headlines that we do see are largely about relatively rare conditions. They are concerning conditions when they happen, but they are relatively rare. The other thing I also want to point out is that for adults or children who have significant health conditions that put them at higher risk, that really needs to be a conversation between them and their healthcare provider. And then a decision made on their individual situation. And schools need to be flexible for kids who need a virtual setup or something else because of those risks and make sure that they are addressing their educational and other needs to the extent possible. And also for staff, I have to say, I think that human resources departments of school districts need to be kind and compassionate and try to work with adult staff members that do say, hey, I'm at higher risk here, but I still want to be able to contribute. We need to be kind and gentle with each other.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642 with us in Green Bay. Logan, hi.
Hi. Well, thanks to the doctor for covering quite a bit of ground, and I'm certain it's going to help educators. It's sad that politics have to permeate every aspect of our life. Education should be determined by the school district themselves, and they shouldn't be bullied by somebody on top. Forcing kids to go to school if it places them at risk. So therefore, conditions should be taken into account, and they should, and no school district should be do something that's against the health of the kids. Thank you, sir.
Logan, thanks a lot for that call. And Dr. Nafzaria, that's where that flexibility that you and the American Academy of Pediatrics are calling for, the consideration might be different if there's a district in a place where suddenly there's a surge in community spread of coronavirus, or if there are some other conditions that make their students or staff more vulnerable.
Absolutely. And I think that's where they have to weigh the conditions. They also need to weigh questions like how many of our kids need to take a school bus? How many do not? All of those things, you know, play into this. I'll also echo what some of my colleagues at the AAP has said. The American Academy of Pediatrics is resolutely apolitical, but we are unabashedly pro-kid. This is about the children and what's best for them. So I completely agree. This shouldn't be about the politics. This should be about what is best for children and families. And we should be really thoughtfully and carefully thinking about that and analyzing what we have.
Thanks a lot for that call, Logan, at 800-642-1234. We're talking about reopening schools as safely as possible with Dr. Dipesh Nafzaria, pediatrician at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, also head of the Wisconsin chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics. Back to your calls now. Ravi is with us in Milwaukee. Ravi, hi.
Hi, how are you? I have something to say that there should be intense training program for how to wear the mask. They should have the mask not over the mouth. They should close the nose as well and wear it tight above the, to the bridge of the nose, and that's one mandatory process. The second thing, using larger rooms like an auditorium so that they are at least 9 feet away, because the aerosol particles are so small, 10 feet, the NPR News has said that.
Ravi, you're breaking up there. Thanks a lot for calling in. So first of all, that training for wearing masks and other safety precautions, Dr. Nafzaria, I believe that is part of the AAP guidelines, right?
Yes, it is. And, you know, I worked the election polls in April, and it was a great opportunity for me to observe the not very meticulous mask and hand hygiene and whatnot wearing by the general public. Because, you know, in healthcare, right, you get this really drilled into you multiple times, and it's almost automatic. But I don't expect others to have that. So when people said, oh, if we just do hand washing and masks, we don't need to do this isolation, we can still do all these other things. And it's like, oh, boy. Wow, you know, a lot of you folks are just not very good at this. So yes, the mask down over the nose, ill-fitting, all of that plays into it. So some training is important.
Thanks a lot for that call, Ravi. I want to talk, Dr. Nafzaria, about what happens outside the school. I've seen some people make the case that, okay, if we want to prioritize opening schools, that's good and makes sense. But that might mean we have to make sacrifices elsewhere. We might have to accept more shutdowns so that we can send our school kids to school and not have that outbreak going on all around us. One person said they're going to make a bumper sticker I saw online, open schools, not bars, for example. Can we help the schools by doing stuff outside of the schools?
Well, certainly. I think that anything we can do to keep the rate of viral transmission down in our community is going to ultimately help all of us. I mean, the renowned health analysis organization of Goldman Sachs, of all people, pointed out that wearing of masks alone, by their analysis, would probably be a 5% contribution to the economy in terms of recovery because of how much sooner things would be able to open, et cetera. It's not just about the schools and helping the schools. It's about helping the whole society. I want to be careful about a world in which we're trying to pit, say, the bars against the schools and all that. We should really be thinking about this and how can we help all people, right? Because the faster and the more completely that we have this pandemic come to an end, we will be able to go back to things as normal and be able to help everyone out, including businesses, including families that are struggling, including making sure everyone is gainfully employed. and that kids are getting their education. And that's really what this comes down to. Not a pitting of this versus that, but really of caring about each other as a society.
Dr. Nafzaria, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Dr. Dipesh Nafzaria is an associate professor of pediatrics at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. He's also president of the Wisconsin chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics. We talked to them about health and safety in schools this fall. Well, you could still weigh in on this issue if you are watching this as a student, as a parent, a teacher, staff member, administrator, or just a concerned member of the public. When do you want to see kids back in schools? Should it be full on in person, a hybrid of in-person and virtual, especially for the older kids? What safety precautions are you hoping to see? What are some of your worries? You can join us on the Ideas Network Facebook page and share your thoughts there, or you can always tweet us. We are at Central Time WPR. Let us know what you think. Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, China is cracking down on Hong Kong. What is the reaction from the White House and Congress going to look like? We'll get some of the latest news from an NPR correspondent. With recent changes in state and federal law, farmers in Wisconsin are experimenting with hemp crops. We'll find out how United Nation farmers are working to develop a market for their crop. Plus, it's this week's edition of Food Friday. We'll do some cooking with berries. That and more coming up tomorrow on Central Time.